Uhaya Aimer. Okay, we're still, I think Rabbeinu HaKadosh is speaking. No, sorry, Rabbi Gamliel, the Noish Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is speaking. And he says, Asay Ritzainai Kirtzaincha, Shtesiyase Ritzaincha Kirtzainai. Right, the simple taich here is that if you are willing to overcome your desire to do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire, then Asay Ritzainai Kirtzaincha, you'll be making His will your will. God will take the things that you want and He'll say, okay, Mida Keneged Mida, the same thing. Now, the first part talks about a mitzvah saseh. A mitzvah saseh, what God wants, make it what you want. And the second talks about a lo saseh, and do away with your desires when it's in contradiction to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will put your desires ahead of the ratzon of others. Now, I don't know why the Mishnah doesn't stop right here, but the Mishnah, in the same Mishnah, the breaking up of the Mishnah, they put Hillel. Hillel Oimer, Atifresh Atzmecha min HaTzibor, don't behave differently than the tzibur is behaving. Don't believe in yourself until the day of your death. Don't judge someone else till you come to his position. Don't say that this can't be, because you say it can't be, it'll end up happening. And don't say, when you get a chance, I'll learn, because you may not get a chance. Now, obviously,
Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi.
Right. So you think this is the Hillel HaAchrayim, the one who made the calendar? The next verse is Rechem Izak Kibbutz Mehul Shammai. So I assume this is Hillel. Okay. Now let's see Rechaim Volozhin's Pirish on page Ayin Zayin, and we'll do the first part of the Mishnah, and I guess we'll get to the table later. Now he has a totally new pshat in this Mishnah. He says as follows: Vishamala El Yafet Tamatayim Derech Eretz. Previously we learned that Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz is appropriate. Yeshmakim litais b'lshaynai shaderech eretz ikav haTorah tfeilach has v'shalom. A person can make a mistake and think that Torah is secondary. In other words, the Mishnah said you should have Talmud Torah with your Derech Eretz. Like you should have coleslaw with your chicken. So it sounds like the chicken is the ikar, Derech Eretz is the ikar, and the Talmud Torah goes along with it. It's secondary. Like Kahamar Khan. Therefore it says here, say Ritzaina Kirtzainecha. What does that mean? Ritzalaimer. Lapachis Techalika Sayyam Lachatzoim. At least divide the day in half. Shlaitiya Malachtacha Ikarvatarat Fela. You don't want your employment to be more important than the Torah. Therefore, Chasu Shalom, Kine Amalachat Srichashte Rakadechi Yusai. You only have to work as much as you need for your livelihood. Mentioned once earlier that Rav has told his students that in Nisan and Tishrei, I don't want to see you in yeshiva. Nisan and Tishrei were the working seasons, the harvesting, the planting and the harvesting seasons. So for 2 months, go to work, and 10 months, you'll be in yeshiva. So from there began the custom that is Ben Azmanim in Nisan and in Tishrei, so that they could do their work in the field. So today they don't work in the field, but we still have a custom to have off in this sanitation. You shouldn't be busy with your mezainis a whole year. Go have a job. You won't be worried about this because you couldn't learn the rest of the year. Even the time that you're Isaac and Parnasa, God will consider as the time that you're working. The parnasa is secondary, Now the idea that he's saying here is the idea that if a person uses his free time learning, then the not free time is also a choshev to him, as if he was learning. One of the first sugyas in Ksubis, Beis Amid Beis, there's a sugya of Einis Begitten. There's a sugya that talks about a person who gives a woman a get, on the condition that the get would be valid only if he does not return in 30 days. So the sugya discusses the question, what happens if at the end of 30 days, he's an einus, meaning, he's coming, and he's on the other side of the river, and the bridge fell down, or the ferry sunk, and he can't cross. He screams to the other side, Chazuda Asoi, look, I'm here. You're not here. So there's an argument in the Gemara as to whether that's a good get or not a good get. Whether the get is chal because he didn't return, or there's a kind of einus begitten. I was once in my life fortunate enough to take a bechina from Shmuel Birnbaum. So I got a bechina on this sugya. So I studied all the normal mefarshim, and Shmuel Birnbaum, Kedarka B'Kaidush, asked the question from left field. He says, why is this different? Why is this different? And if I tell somebody, do this, I'm chayv myself, let's say, to sell my house, on the condition you pay me by Monday. And the person says he doesn't have money on Monday, but he says, I'm an einus, I just don't have the money. So you should have to sell me the house anyway. Why it's different than any financial agreement, which must be a klutz kasha for some reason, but I couldn't figure it out at the time. At any rate, the point is that the Gemara says if he's on the other side of the river, I can't come. So Taisus says, the way the Aflog explains Taisus says, what happens if you're yesh einus begit? If you're einus, it's not a get. So at the end of 30 days, if he comes and the bridge is down, he's screaming, I want to be here, he's not here. So what happens if at the end of 30 days, he decides he wants it to be a get? He goes to sleep. Wakes up the next morning, pulls out the newspaper. It says, big news, the bridge was down last night. So now he decides he wants to come and say, look, I couldn't come, I was an einus, so I wanna. So Tais says it doesn't count. It only counts if you wanted to come and the einus prevented you from coming, that's an einus. But if the einus wasn't what prevented you, you weren't interested in coming anyway. So then nothing doing, then you can't argue einus if you didn't want to come anyway. So Rapan would say the same thing about learning. We would compare it to learning. A person says, look, I can learn a whole day. I have to earn a livelihood. I got to go to work. And, I have to eat supper and I have to get my sleep. So we say, well, if not for that oinus, what would you have been doing? What would you have been doing? And, based on what you would have been doing otherwise, you either do have a taina or don't have a taina. And that's this taina. So, as you know, I go to Arsamech every summer to get some stories. So, it's not a story, it's just a comment. There's a fellow there. They have what they call mentor missions twice a year, where people from the United States sort of mentor college guys and take them to Eretz Yisrael, and they go on Teretz Yisrael. So the mentor mission pairs up an American balabas with a college boy, and they come. I'm always not sure if the mentor mission is just a way of getting these balabatim to see the yeshiva, be impressed and make a donation, or as much as to influence the college boys. But anyway, this young man says to me, I don't get this mentor mission. He says, these men come to us. They're the models for us. This is his language. He says, they donate an hour a day to learn. They give God an hour a day. They're not people who Torah is their lives, and they have to work also. He says, an hour a day. He says, when they bring us here, and we go into class, and they're waiting outside, sitting outside, they take a soda, a coffee, and they sit around, they discuss politics. To him, he doesn't understand it, he doesn't get it. So go try to explain to him that, you're about tshuva, it's different, you think you're supposed to learn when you have time, really. Kovei to Matari, you set up your hour a day. But he doesn't get it. So that's really what it's saying here. What it's saying here is that the work shouldn't be secondary. You know, divide the day. You work 8 hours, you learn 8 hours, and then you have 8 hours left for sleeping and eating. So anyway, that's this, that's what it says here. Actually, it doesn't say exactly to the day. He says divide the day between the learning and the working. So, all right, that's the ideal. Alzeh amru chachameinu zecherenu levracha gadolai nehenem igia kapav yoisem yirei shemayim. It says an expression on Daf Ches and Brachas. The Gemara, which we're up to, is going to say, greater is someone who has anaf in the work of his hands than someone who's yirei shemayim. Dilu gabehen nehenem igia kapav iksiv ashrecha v'toivlach. Somebody who works for a living. So he has anaf migia kapav from the work of his hands. So we say Ashrecha v'tayvlach. Ashrecha b'elamaseh, tayvlach alababa. You have parnasa in this world, and it's good for you in the next world. Ilu b'yirei shemayim, siv ashrei ish yirei Hashem. Ilu tayvlach like siv. So it's better if someone is in the henemi gei kapai than someone is yirei shemayim alone. Ulchari tamua, kemash she'en li yirei shemayim chelok alam haba, chas v'shalom. Do you think he has no chelok in alam haba, ki tayvlach pirish alam haba, k'resh in his bayar? Avala nira. Someone who works for a living, he's willing to work so he doesn't have to come on to other people supporting him. On such a person, it says, you don't have to divide your olam haba. Since you work for a living, nobody's supporting you. So your olam haba is purely yours. Aval yirei shemayim sheni aysa klal b'parnasa rak b'tayra tamid. U'matel atzmai al atzibah she'yaspiku lai, and he's dependent on other people to support him. Im kein schar tayra say loy loy levadai. The schar of his tayra is not his alone. Loy levadai yeh. Ki gam lo mahzik in aysay b'kiyim chiyusa. He has to divide his schar with the people who support him. Yesh lam chelik v'schar tayra ba'amalai kin yisach hazvulun. So he's saying as follows. That somebody who works for a living and spends the rest of his time learning, his olam haba is totally his. He's not dividing it with anybody. Somebody who has to be supported in order to learn all day, he ends up dividing his schar for olam haba together with, dividing it with someone else. So that, the tayvlach is yours alone. Here, we see a point that there's a clear. If let's say I learn Mishnayis Lili Nishma somebody, do I lose on my end? Let's say I learn Mishnayis for an hour, so I get a certain amount of schar. I say I'll do a Lili Nishmas my father passed away, or Lili Nishma somebody else. Do I lose anything? So there are those who insist that you don't lose anything because you're learning. So I don't understand that, because besides the fact that I have a more sort of a precise mind, a certain amount of schar, what does it mean you don't lose it? Where is it coming from? But if it's true that if you learn for someone else, you don't lose anything, so we should just all learn for everybody. If I don't lose anything, I might as well learn for all the Jews in the whole world that ever existed. And somehow it seems not that way. What he's saying here is that someone supports you for learning. He gets schar, but you lose from your schar. Which is the way it would seem that it should be logically, is that if you're giving up something, you lose something on the other end.
Maybe because usually the person you're learning for is somebody you have a kesher to, like the father or mother.
Well, why should that affect the schar? I mean, if the person caused you to learn, so he gets schar for causing you to learn. He certainly has a chelik in it. You don't lose anything.
It means more if you're willing to give part of your schar away.
Yeah, I have to say.
Well, let's say I'm not willing to give it away, and I learn Leidish for somebody. What does he get? What does he get? I'm not giving any of my schar to him. So what does he get? Honorable mention. But what is that? What does it do for him? Well, if someone learns because of your influence, you're Makar of somebody, or somebody raises children, so you're right. You're right. I don't. That's not what I'm talking about. I once saw Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes that Lili Nishmas apparent. You don't even have to say Lili Nishmas. Do something is Lili Nishmas apparent. But talking about Lili Nishmas somebody else. What does it mean? It's not someone that caused you to be learning.
Right,
so
right. It works like that, right?
I would imagine it works that way. That it's split.
Yeah.
That's what I would imagine. So.
Otherwise, what does it mean? Otherwise,
yeah, I don't know. The people say that that you don't lose. I imagine that. I don't know. Imagine we did enough due diligence. I'd find somebody who says such a thing. I just don't understand.
By the other case, where somebody's supporting you, they're enabling you to learn. You couldn't learn without them. In the case where you're just learning for somebody's,
right?
They haven't done anything,
right?
So you don't lose.
But then, what does he get if you don't lose? What's he getting?
You have the right to. It's a schus. You have the right.
So I don't lose anything, and he gains.
And he gains.
So why doesn't everybody just learn for everybody else?
Who said you can't?
But there should be such a rule, like you multiply Klal Yisrael schar by 2 million. If you learn for 2 million people,
because meaningless,
huh?
Meaningless.
I think yes.
Just the opposite. Yeah. During the stock market collapse a few years ago, it was stock market collapse. That everybody lose. By your logic, if somebody lose, somebody should supposed to get.
I agree. The stock market does not work with logic. There's no logic in the stock market,
not
I agree.
Everything works by logic.
Not everything works by logic. It's true, but I'm not sure that in heaven it works like the stock market. I'm not sure. Sorry.
It's just the opposite. Somebody that you're learning for should actually get more of the stock, because otherwise you wouldn't be necessarily learning at that point.
If the neshama caused you to be learning, she got more than you. I don't know. Maybe.
Certainly a partnership. It has to be.
I would imagine it's some sort of a partnership.
Is it a stranger or not? Is a stranger somebody that was a parent who was hired you to learn because of him?
Yeah, I agree. If someone's married, then you don't have to say Lili Ishras, then it's sort of an automatic. It's an automatic. I'll leave you with a music shot in Tevin the Kappa, Menis Mishmaim. I think the Marsha says this, that sometimes you have a Shiloh, you're in the kitchen. And you have a cholent, and you stuck it in milk a spoon, you know if it's kosher. So Yerei Shemayim says, let me throw it in the garbage.
Somewhere.
I don't know. Somebody who's Nehenem Yigei Kapam, somebody who sits down and takes out Shulchan Aruch and figures out the halacha, he ends up eating it. So God learned Nehenem Yigei Kapam. God doesn't want a guy to be Yerei Shemayim, throw in a cholent. He wants him to figure it out. So if you're Nehenem Yigei Kapam, so it's Toibloi Bailam Hazeh, he gets to eat the cholent. And he has Schar Loilam Abba. That's better than Yerei Shemayim. I think it's some schar for Elam Abba, but that's not the preferred idea. For figuring out the halacha, doing the right thing. Yeah. I just have to rephrase that. I'm talking about Yerei Shemayim who couldn't figure it out. If he could figure it out, he really should. Sometimes he doesn't have the background. So anyway, he's touching. I say, means the time you work should also be equal to the time that you do God's will. The amount of time you're doing God's will. Hopefully, when you work, you do God's will too. But it means the idea of spending your time learning should be equal to the amount of time that you spend at work, which is a challenge. But we can at least try in that direction a little bit. Okay. It's a Shabbat Thursday night.